Every time you move, as you all know, there are important decisions to be made. Where to live, how to meet the neighbors, who your new doctor and dentist and dry cleaner and gym will be, where you find your hair cutter, how to learn enough about local politics. And here in Kalamazoo is the most important question of all. How many days a week can one go to Sweetwater's Donuts? How much is too much? Gluttony is bad for us, right? Many of us are more overweight than we want to be. Scientists see an epidemic of obesity, which is a social problem, not a willpower problem. Too many drinks, too many cigars, too many late nights, too many desserts, all bad for us. We don't just enjoy a show. We stay up too late watching just one more episode. We sit down to check our email, and an hour later, we're somehow on TikTok or Facebook. Many of you are seeing that you have more stuff than you want to have. More clothes, more knickknacks, more art, more collectibles. We don't even know how much. Recently, Carl arranged to give one of his camping tents to our young neighbor. And I said to him, "You're giving away your tent?" "I have 5 tents," he told me. I had no idea, although to be fair, he has no idea how many shoes I have. On the other hand, some of you don't have enough, and you're wondering what's wrong with people. Our gluttony has terrible consequences for the people who mine the minerals for our phones, the children who make our food and our clothing, the chemicals on our green lawns. All of that spreads out from us to others. And sometimes we don't even know it's too much until we're over the line. One coffee too many and your hands start to shake and you realize, oh, I should have stopped. One drink too many, too much sugar, too many knickknacks, too many devices. It all adds up. And instead of feeling full and content and happy, we feel stressed and anxious, terrible, ill, ashamed. Our hunger for love and safety and connection, for excitement, feeds this impulse to have more and more and more. But Jesus does gluttony differently. Jesus does gluttony right. A friend says that her mother used to say, "Less is more," and then laugh uproariously and say, "Don't be silly, honey, more is more." That's Jesus, more is more. Jesus calls Levi, called Matthew and the other gospels out of his tax collecting booth, out of his lifestyle squeezed between the Romans and his Jewish neighbors, out of this work where people hate him. And in Thanksgiving, Levi throws this banquet for Jesus, a celebration, like a wedding reception or a retirement party. It marks this change in his life. So Jesus thinks, why eat when you can have a banquet? Why celebrate one person when you can include them all? Why heal somebody when you can say your sins are forgiven and change their whole life? When people accuse Jesus of being a glutton, he is all in. When they ask why he's not fasting, he says it's time for a party. He says he's making a whole new world and there's no time to sit around in mourning. He calls himself the bridegroom, the sign of a new family being formed. And a new family needs new rules and new celebrations. I do not know, and I imagine you wonder too, how the Church of Jesus Christ got to be so sour, so discouraging, so mean, so judgy, when we started with this teacher who always was ready for a party. Father Greg Boyle, who works with young men and women coming out of gang life in Los Angeles, tells a story about a guy named Looney coming home from 6 months in a juvenile facility. The staff gave him a warm welcome. Looney was loving all the attention. The office staff, as Father Greg says, killed the fatted pepperoni to welcome home the prodigal Looney. They ordered 5 huge pizzas and then hand him the bill, which he says he doesn't recall from the gospel story. They cram themselves into the tiny office and eat the pizza, and Looney is looking from person to person to person, taking in this welcome that he's getting, trying to measure how happy they are. He asks to talk to Father Greg alone, and they go to his office. They sit down, and Looney is silent. "If you were my son," Father Greg says, "I would be so proud of you. I'd be the proudest man alive." And then in a flash, Looney has his thumbs in his eyes, trying desperately not to cry, trembling and stopping the flow of tears. Father Greg adds that the Bible tells us all the time about people who feel wholly unacceptable, people who are named outcasts, who've taken in their toxic shame, who've brought it inside and given it a home. And so Jesus' strategy is simple. He eats with them, precisely to those who are paralyzed by all that they are not. He tells them who they are. He goes where love has not yet arrived and settles down at the table. He adds that recognizing that we are wholly acceptable is the truth that we all need to discover. No small party will work for that. And so Jesus does gluttony right, always in service to love, to welcome, to inclusion, to forgiveness. We can do it that way too. Not to fill a hole, not to bring ourselves comfort, not to ease our loneliness, but to show the grace of God. If we're trying to fill a hole, gluttony will never work. Overdoing the eating, the shopping, the screens, the drinking, to escape something will never work. But when it's joy overflowing like it is for Jesus, gluttony is the way to go. When it's love spilling out, when it's abundant welcome, when it's the sign of a new beginning, that's the kind of gluttony that Jesus promises. And he invites us into that very same work. Jesus does gluttony right, and he invites us to do it that way too. In the name of the party giver, amen. Let's stand to sing.